The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, this program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. And we should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we once again look east, and that is to the eastern rite of our Catholic Church, and specifically the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma. The Ukrainian Catholic Church is the largest of the eastern churches in full communion with the Pope in Rome. Similar in structure to a diocese in the Latin Rite Church, the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma and its presiding bishop, the Most Reverend Bohdan Danilo, presides over Ukrainian Catholic parishes spanning from Florida through the South, the Carolinas, Kentucky, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and of course Ohio. However, our focus today is on St. Josephat as a parish community. This is your host, Bob Tayak. Joining me on Where We Worship is the rector of St. Josephat Cathedral Parish, the Reverend Volodymyr Haritsuk, along with choir member and leader of the parish children's group, Tanya Rozhnov, and longtime member of the parish and member of the Apostles of Prayer, and that is Oksana Sapujdich. I guess I want to welcome you all. Thanks for coming in to talk to us about the parish. And I turn to you first, Father. Tell us about the Ukrainian Catholic Church. It's an Eastern Rite member, but how did that even come to develop?
At the end of 16th century, exactly to say 1596, the Orthodox Metropolia of Kyiv in Ukraine, now currently in Ukraine, decided to unify with the Pope of Rome, and they signed the document, the Union of Brest. And since then, our church is a member of Catholic Church.
I know there are several Ukrainian Catholic churches in Northeast Ohio, including one in Akron, and they were established. But for many not familiar with the Eastern Rite, there is a difference with the Latin Rite churches in the sense of a certain spirituality, liturgical practices, and of course the ethnic language and traditions. Can you give us a little insight, particularly on that aspect of spirituality? I know it's different in the Eastern Rite in particular.
Yes, it is on the aspect of spirituality. We do use and quote a lot the teachings of the Eastern Church Fathers. It is on the aspect of the liturgy. We use a Byzantine liturgy. We are Church of Byzantine Rite. It is on the also aspect of language. Even we did use the Church Slavonic as our language for centuries. And after the Second Vatican, we started to use vernacular Ukrainian in our liturgies.
Oh, very good. So that all makes sense. The other aspect I know that comes into play is the use of icons, in particular, in your spiritual practices. Could you elaborate a little bit on that and how they come into play?
Well, if you enter St. Josephat Cathedral, you will be overwhelmed with a big amount of icons that are on the wall and on the icon screen. Since the altar room is separated from the main nave of the church with an icon screen, and that's our tradition, Byzantine tradition. and it symbolizes the entrance into the space of heaven. And the icons are considered to be the windows to heaven, connection into the divine space.
Very good. The other thing I have to talk about, the other difference is, of course, you as a priest of the Ukrainian Catholic Church can marry. And I know you're a family man, right?
Yes, I am family man. Even we have to correct this a little bit. As a priest, I cannot marry. After I was ordained, that wouldn't be possible. But the church, in our tradition, always chose not only unmarried, but also married men to be ordained to be a priest. So that what happened to me.
Oh, very good. No, that's wonderful. And it's so nice to be able to get that insight as well. Spirituality, as I wanted to talk about a little bit. We just finished, you know, Lent and into the Easter season and so forth. But, you know, I often think, in the little bit I know is, for instance, Lent in the Eastern Rite really is the time of the great fast. And there you really take a little bit different view than just, you know, abstaining from meat on Fridays and that. Tell us a little bit about the practices that come into play in the time of the great fast.
Well, you have to differentiate the prescriptions of the church, which the church says that's what needs to be done. And in the last decades, the church relaxed a little bit the rules of Lent, so that the rules of Lent are very, not quite the same, but very similar to the Roman Catholic Rite, with the days like Wednesday and Friday abstain from meat. That would be the minimum what you would have to do in Lent. But the church always encourages people to take Lenten time seriously and to not see only Lent as only fasting from food, but also as a spiritual development and analyzing your life and looking for virtue. So that's what Lent ultimately is.
And then we reach into the Eastern season, the Great Feast. And what's the term, I think, in Ukrainian Catholic, is it called a time of brightness or something that for the Easter season?
Well, the Bright Pascha.
Mm-hmm. The Bright Pascha.
Yes, so that's considered because that's the light that comes from the grave, from the tomb of Christ. Christ resurrected, and the bright light, the mirror-bearing women saw the bright light there. And so that's what it is all about, the bright light of the resurrection, so that we have to concentrate on this fact of resurrection, which is saving for us.
Well, that's very good. And as we continue then in our conversation, we will move on to talk a little bit more about St. Joseph at Ukrainian Catholic Cathedral in Parma, its efforts as well to assist the people of Ukraine during this terrible time of war, and some of the other activities and dimensions to the parish when we continue on Where We Worship on AM 1260. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesek's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues with the Reverend Volodymyr Haritsuk, the rector of St. Joseph at Ukrainian Catholic Cathedral Parish in Parma, along with longtime member and children's group leader Tanya Rozhnov and longtime parishioner, and that is Oksana Sapudich. As we continue the interview, I'll start again with you, Father, just briefly. It's been more than a year now since Russia invaded Ukraine. And first, I assume there are many in our congregation with friends and relatives living in the Ukraine. Is that a correct assumption as far as the influence?
Yes, it's more than a year since it happened, and it brought the whole community in shock here. Because no one expected in 21st century to have such a brutal war, which is like the Second World War with all the massive battles, and whatever happens there, it's very, very painful for our community.
This must be something, Oksana, I'm going to turn to you now, because I know you told me as we talked about the interview beforehand that actually you're an early member of the parish, but that is the result of, frankly, what World War II, that the family was much like what's happening now in Ukraine.
Yes, we had a big influx of immigrants here in the United States after World War II. My parents were in displaced persons camp in Germany. We came here in 1958. The parish started, St. Josephat's Parish, originally was the school in 1951. There were over 500 children there in the school from the immigration. And so in 1959, the parish started in the gym of the school. We had a chapel. And then we had the Apostleship of Prayer. I'm a member of the Apostleship of Prayer. That was started also from the beginning of the parish. And then the cathedral was built in 1982? 84. After that, we just had a lot of the immigrants that came over were very strong in their faith, because the faith brought them through the war. So the church was very important to them.
Father, do you find, are you getting any immigrants coming from Ukraine now to the parish?
Oh, yes, many. Many immigrants. Well, most of them are coming because already their family members are here and they're vouching for them. You know, when you have to sign the documents of this U4U program that was announced by the administration. So you have to have a sponsor. So, and very often those sponsors are the family members that bring their family to from away from war here to United States. So we do have a lot of newcomers.
Tanya, I know you've been with the parish about a dozen years, but you came from the Ukraine,
yes,
correct? And tell me, your interaction with these people, what have you found as they've come to Parma, Ohio, and of course had never really planned on it, I'm sure. What do you find as far as their thoughts and really their faith?
Well, their faith is stronger now because, as we know, when trouble comes, we think about our God. I see many people coming to the liturgies on Sundays. I see people coming for catechism. They bring their children. Everybody is very aware right now and very Lord-based because we have a great war. So people like our cathedral. They enjoy listening to the father's lectures, so to say. he's great at this. He's teaching us all, and I even don't know where else we could find such a great priest. Also, our group of prayer, including Shipiv Dishoksana, they pray a lot, and our people really feel thankful for those prayers, and they want to participate in rosaries. We have a couple of rosaries. We have rosary, which is every first and third Sunday that our prayer group does. Apostles Saturday, yeah, as Mary asked. And new people who came from Ukraine, they started praying rosary a lot.
They did. My goodness. Now, I should point out, we have some pounding in the background, but Tanya, it's a delightful pounding because you have in studio with us he's two?
Yes, he's 2 years old. He follows me everywhere. We try to go to Mass every day, so he goes with me wherever we can. If we cannot go to our cathedral, we go someplace that is close by our house. But he loves God and Eucharist.
he's got a great smile and a wonderful demeanor. So we're glad he's here. He's here with us, Father. As far as these folks that have had to come from the Ukraine, and as far as outreach to Ukraine itself, what has the parish been involved in? What kind of activities or things have you been doing to accommodate both the people here who have come here, as well as maybe to help those that are still in Ukraine?
Well, first, we try to send help to Ukraine, and since we are members of Catholic Ukrainian Catholic Church, and we are working through official church organizations, and our diocese created a humanitarian fund to which each parish greatly contributes and collects money. We are trying to support the local church in Ukraine, who does a lot for those displaced persons and for people that lost their homes, that are on the run. So that's one thing what we did. Another thing, we have from time to time our small projects that we do where there is need. Like last festival that we had, we have a great festival in end of August, and this year it's going to be 26th and 27th of August. We collected money for ambulances for Ukraine, and then we bought two used ambulances and sent them to Ukraine, to the front line, to those cities where they are in need of ambulances, to taking out people, normal people, out of the front line with those ambulances. So we did that.
Well, we should keep in mind, let's plug that again. So coming up August the
26th, 27th,
and I'm sure that benefits from that wonderful celebration and carnival will be going again to the people of
Ukraine.
Yes,
some part of it.
Very good. Well, coming up, the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy, St. Josephat in Parma, and its parish, serving the spiritual well-being of many on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship, featuring the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma. And my guests are St. Josephat Rector, the Reverend Volodymyr Harutsuk, along with choir member and one of the leaders of the children's group, Tanya Rozhnov, and longtime parishioner, Oksana Seputich. And Father, tell us a little bit about the ministries that you have employed at the parish. What kind of outreach do you do, and what kind of spiritual aspects too?
First of all, we have Eastern Church approach to the ministries, and we would like to speak first and foremost through our prayer and through our liturgy and through our spirituality to the world that is feeling kind of lost or empty. And we do have a choir in the church, beautiful choir that sings, and we established an English-speaking choir in our parish for everyone who really wants to express their faith in singing and in praying. So we do have catechism classes for the newcomers and for their children, for everyone, actually. We have a children's group and children's choir that we just established to keep those families together. We just had our Easter breakfast, and our new founded children's choir was so beautifully singing. We were enjoying that. We have an outreach for older people in our parish, and beyond that, we're visiting those older people. So that's one of those things that we do in the parish.
That's
maybe
very
have some
good.
More questions.
I wanted to turn to Father, to Oksana, because I've heard a lot about the apostleship of prayer. Tell us, Oksana, about this particular ministry or outreach, if you will.
Well, the apostleship of prayer was established in Ukraine, and then a lot of the immigrants that came over here were still part of the apostleship, so they prolonged that, the apostleship of St. Josephat. So we became members, and we do a lot of, we try to bring speakers in to the church. We do pilgrimages to shrines. We do a rosary. We promote the first Saturday devotion. So we try to do the rosary every Sunday, every first Saturday of the month. And the third Saturdays we meet also for prayer after liturgy. We usually attend the 9 o'clock liturgy on Saturdays.
And you had, I know that you had told me beforehand, you did the apostleship did a special outreach to bring in a very special Fatima.
Yes, we had.
Tell us about that.
We participated in the 100th anniversary of Fatima. And so we were able to bring the World Apostolate of Fatima statue to our parish. We also had two other statues of the World Apostolate come over to our parish, one that the United Nations rejected. It came there, and they rejected it coming into the United Nations. So we had that in our parish also.
Oh, my goodness. Now, and I wanted to point out, you brought up a really good point in our previous conversation that, for instance, this statue of Fatima was the one that actually, what transpired?
In New Orleans, this particular statue visited the whole world. It's a world traveling statue.
Sure, sure.
And it cried in New Orleans when prostitution was legalized.
Now, I also, when we talk about the power of your prayer, the prayer group, and Fatima, I think sitting right next to me here is someone who was a beneficiary of that prayer. So a little testimony, we'll ask Tanya to step in and talk about what transpired upon that time.
So this is a very inspiring story, and until now, I still feel inspired by it because I am a new, so to say, parishioner. I came to Parma in 2010. At that time, I was looking for a good parish for myself. I didn't have children, but I wanted children. I couldn't have them. I don't know why. We tried so many times with my husband. Didn't work. So one day, I was really upset and depressed. I don't know was what. You know, sometimes it happens with everybody. So I decided to go to church, and I thought it's open. So I came, and to my disappointment, at that moment, it was locked. And I felt so sad. So going back to my car, I saw a couple of women gathering together. And I'm a very curious person. So I was like, oh, who are they? What are they doing here? They were older. They looked so calm and peaceful. I just wanted to come and hug them. So I came and I asked, what are you doing? And they said, we are going to pray rosary. I said, wow, can I go with you? They said, yes. So they took me to that was the little chapel inside the office. At that time, it was so amazing. So they took me there, and they asked me if there's something particular I would like to pray about. And I started crying and reflecting on my recent conversion to Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity. And I said that I have difficulty getting pregnant. And they said, we will pray for you. I was like, okay. But that was such a great time. We were all crying, you know, like Holy Spirit came on us. So we all prayed. And then around a week or so, I find out I'm pregnant. And then I got another child, and now I have three kids.
So now we have three. We have one in studio with us here, which is fine. But it's a wonderful testimony. And I think it's one that we don't hear often enough about the power of prayer. And Oksana, you must feel good about that in the sense of what your apostleship does. You know that there's probably all kinds of wonderful interactions and intercessions on behalf of the Blessed Mother, thanks to what you do.
We pray a lot for our clergy, for our church, for the war in Ukraine, for everyone who's fighting, for peace to happen. As Our Lady had asked in Fatima, she had asked us to pray the rosary and to end the war and for the conversion of Russia.
Sure.
So, and that's the basic reason why we do pray, because Our Lady had asked it of us.
Sure. Let me finish up by asking, Father, how can someone learn more about St. Joseph Act? If they're listening to this and saying, well, it's Ukrainian Catholic, but I think you would tell me all are welcome, right? And there's something for everyone. How would they most be able to get in touch or learn more?
Well, we do have a web page and a Facebook page. But the best way to learn it is to experience it. Just come and visit us, especially on the feast days or on Sunday, and just experience the liturgy, experience the beauty of the cathedral and spirituality and the divine liturgy. Experience that. We are welcoming everyone who comes.
Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy St. Josephat Parish in Parma. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.